Well, first of all, I do apologize for the shorts. I generally think a minister probably should be in a suit and stuff, I suppose. But I realize we're not that formal. But as long as I've got the brace, it sure is a lot easier to get on. So I hope you'll give me a little grace on that one. Although I do have to figure out, I'm due to travel. Thank you, Becca. I can always look to you for support. I do have to travel in a couple weeks. So I'm going to have to figure out how exactly to work it, because the brace, if they put it on outside of clothes, it'll slide too much. So it should be interesting. I'll probably travel with shorts on through TSA's guidance there, but beyond that, we'll figure it out.
They can check
each
your baggage.
Exactly. There are a lot of bags my size, Becca.
I got a duffel bag you'll fit in.
So, I didn't look at the bulletin. Sorry, I'm very guilty of that. So what's the title of my sermon? Nobody looked at the bulletin.
Intolerance,
right? Because tolerance is a very, very popular word right now. Intolerant is a very popular word to label people. We were talking early about how in Hancock there was a vote. And if certain people had spoken up to give their views, they probably would have been called intolerant, because the tolerant people better understand what we need, right? Not the intolerant people.
Right.
But tolerance is an interesting term. What does tolerance mean? What does it mean to be tolerant?
Acceptance,
right? Any other... Did you all just wake up?
Yep.
Well, we'll go with my good old Mac dictionary again. It says the ability or willingness to tolerate something. That's terrible. Did they just use tolerate in the definition of a... I'm sure Microsoft would never do that. The ability or willingness to tolerate something, in particular the existence or opinions of or behavior that one does not necessarily agree with. Right? Religious tolerance is one of the, an advocate of religious tolerance, say. Intolerant is not tolerant. I guess I should have spent more time thinking about their definitions. Tolerant of others' views, beliefs, or behavior that differ from one's own. So let's think about it, though. Can you be tolerant of somebody you agree with? You agree with them. You're not tolerating anything. If you think it's okay to go out every night and drink yourself to a blind stupor, you're not tolerating somebody else who drinks themselves to a blind stupor, right? You think it's fine. And the problem we have in today is tolerance, acceptance, there's two kinds of, it's not really acceptance. For instance, you can tolerate somebody without accepting it, and actually it's impossible to tolerate somebody if you do really accept it, because you're not tolerating them, you're agreeing with them. So the issue today with tolerance, from a definition standpoint, is that the modern definition goes beyond what it really is. You're not tolerating anybody. You're supposed to agree with everybody. You don't tolerate Muslims. Their path to God is just as valid as your path to God. You're not tolerating them. You're, in essence, saying that they're right, too, and you can't do that. Now, of course, what we say is we need a biblical definition of tolerance. What does it mean to be tolerant in the Bible, and what should we tolerate in the Bible, and what should we accept? And so that's why I figured we'll go ahead and do another What Did Jesus Do? WDJD. Tolerance is kind of the name of it, but the fact is there's intolerance in it too. What did Jesus tolerate, and what did Jesus not tolerate? And I thought it was interesting, because when I figured, well, let's go ahead and get the world's definition. We had those lousy two definitions from my Mac dictionary. But what's the world's definition? And I went to tolerance.org. I did a Google search, and I went to tolerance.org. And yesterday morning, their top story about tolerance, right, because it's tolerance.org, was about called All Dressed Up, No Place to Go. It says, by now, most people have heard about Constance McMillan. Last week, her school in Fulton, Mississippi, canceled its prom because Constance wanted to bring her girlfriend and wear a tuxedo. The American Civil Liberties Union has taken up Constance's cause. So have a bunch of other celebrities. Today, for instance, Constance will tell her story on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. Well, that's a shocker. That was their top story for tolerance. What does that say? Well, clearly that high school is intolerant of somebody who wants to bring their lesbian girlfriend. I also didn't say those words because it wouldn't want to be shocking. But some girl wanted to bring her lesbian girlfriend dressed up as a boy. Right?
Right.
And they were intolerant. They canceled the prom just not to deal with the issue. They were intolerant. So let's keep that in mind. That's the world's top definition of tolerance right now. Kind of fits what we were talking about during Bible study, too. Mm-hmm. Top definition of tolerance right now. Let's not decide whether the high school was tolerant or intolerant, but let's look at what Jesus would do, okay? And as I've done before, when I do the what did Jesus do, I like reading through one of the Gospels. And we will stay almost entirely in Mark. So let's all turn to Mark together. And what's interesting is, it took me a while to get the research done, because often when I choose a subject, I can read through a lot before I get a point. It'll be like, oh, this has to do with what I'm studying this time. Or this has to do with what I'm saying. But in Mark, right from the get-go, it feeds a lot of information into what Jesus tolerated and what he did not tolerate. So let's go to Mark. We're almost going to read through the entire... Don't worry, I'm not going to do it all at once. We're going to almost read through the entire first chapter. There are only a half dozen verses that actually didn't jump out to me as talking about tolerance or intolerance. It starts off very well. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the good news. So as we read here and we learn about tolerance, this is part of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, right? And we'll start with verses 1 through 4. Well, go on to 2. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare a way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, who sent John? God. Jesus, right? Jesus sent John before him. Jesus came, and what was John's message? Repentance, right? What's one thing that Jesus will not tolerate? Sin. He can't tolerate sin, right? You need to repent. So right from get-go, as we're dealing with meetings in Hancock, we can't tolerate sin. Now, I think we have to be cautious, because it's one thing within the church and what we should tolerate, and the other thing in the world, what we have to tolerate. But the fact is, Jesus can't tolerate sin, and when he sent somebody out ahead of his path to prepare the way, that was the message made very clear. So as you can see, I didn't get very far, and already I saw something that Jesus didn't tolerate. I actually expected to start with tolerance, but I saw something that Jesus did not tolerate. We will skip now to verses 14 and 15, okay? 14 and 15. We could, by the way, just before that's the temptation of Jesus, and other versions you could see that Jesus did not tolerate what the devil was doing with Scripture. But staying with Mark, let's go to verses 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." What? Repent and believe in the gospel. So there you go again. It starts off with repent, and then Jesus himself, what does he say?
Repent.
Which means he does not tolerate sin. Does not tolerate sin. There's just nothing that we can say that can make sin acceptable to the sinless Son of God, right? Now, let's go on with 16 through 20. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Now this may not seem like something where it talks about tolerance or intolerance, but actually it says a big thing. Fishermen are common people, aren't they? Did he go to the synagogue and pick the rulers? The scribes, the Pharisees? No, he chose rather ordinary fishermen. Jesus tolerates common people. common people with problems. Because who was the first one it said? Well, for one of the first two that he chose, very famous one,
Peter.
And we know he had to tolerate Peter. We'll get a little further along where Peter ends up denying him three times, right? So he tolerates common people. Something else that's interesting, if you maybe later in here too, but if you look in other ones, James and John, how are they from a characteristic standpoint? What was the most marked characteristic of them? Well, there technically were two, and you do see it in here too. But there's one that they were famous. They actually had a nickname. What was their nickname?
Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder, right? He also tolerated people who had significant character flaws, right? And Jesus, do you want us to call thunder and lightning out of heaven and zap them? He tolerated them. Doesn't that make you feel good? Anybody here have a little trouble with temper? Anybody? You know what I mean? I don't know if anybody here is just like a foaming at the mouth, spinning kind of person. But, you know, last night when Michelle got me off the couch after I fell asleep, let's just say that I'm glad he accepts Sons of Thunder. No, I did not yell at her, but I don't know about you guys. The way I usually show my crankiness is more just being quiet. You know what I mean? Still not fair. So I think we can all look to that. But let's keep going, okay? It doesn't have to do with tolerance, but I thought it was really interesting if you look at verse 22. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. The whole reason we're looking at what did Jesus do is because we agree. He has authority, not the scribes, not the people who voted in Hancock, right? So, but let's continue. 23 through 26. 23 through 26. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man who had an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. Who did Jesus not tolerate?
Satan.
Demons, right? He's got no room for demons. And if we were to turn to Revelation 12, 7 through 10, we'd also read, "Now a war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragons and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven." And we could go on, they were cast down to earth, but he could not tolerate them at all. The sad thing is that we already chose who our prince of the air was, so he had a place to go, right? But he couldn't tolerate demons. And you would say he wasn't very tolerant of their speech either, right? When they spoke, he told them to shut up sometimes. So he does not tolerate demons or their speech. Now let's look at 32 through 34. "That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him." So he did not tolerate their speech again. Who did he tolerate? A lot. Let me put it this way. Would a demon-oppressed person in society today be one of the most popular people in the world? They'll be knocking on their door to have dinner with them? Jesus spent a lot of time with them, didn't he? He tolerated them. How about the sick? For those of us who have our various injuries and stuff like that, what did they believe back in Jewish times about if you were blind or whatever?
Sin.
Exactly. Not very tolerated, but Jesus tolerated them, the sick, the oppressed. And I hope as you're reading this stuff, you realize what good news. What did it say at the beginning here? Mark 1:1. The beginning of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Any bad news for you yet? Let's continue. We're going to go through 39 to 44. And you can see why I had such a hard time even getting out of the first chapter of Mark. "And he went through all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity," not just a perfunctory, right? "Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. Okay, well, we know that the sick were looked down on. How about lepers? What did Jesus just do when he touched them? Well, he technically didn't violate the law as much as he made himself unclean. And no good Jew would intentionally make himself unclean, right? No good Jew would do that. But Jesus, and did Jesus have to touch the leper to heal him? Right? Could have snapped his fingers? I mean, I'm sure that's what we do, or we do, you know, the bewitched wiggle the nose back and forth, and that would be it, right? But he touched him. So Jesus was tolerant of the intolerable. In Jewish society, you could not have chosen a more intolerable person than a leper. And he touched him. And you'll notice again where I started, he was actually tolerant of the people in the synagogues, right? Because it says, he went through all Galilee preaching in their synagogues. I think we can finally escape chapter 1, and then we'll rush a bit faster through the other ones. But we've gone through the chapter, and we've seen him already tolerate the least tolerable in Jewish society. We've seen him clearly not tolerate the demons. And we've seen him tolerate, for instance, the synagogues where he spent his time, even though they were not teaching, obviously, what he thought was important. We see more of that in a minute. And so I think we can learn from that too, because sometimes when we have, obviously, what kind of tolerance? He didn't go in there and bless their what they were saying, but he was willing to spend time, right? And I think sometimes in Christianity, I've mentioned now on Twitter that there are people who wouldn't put me on their Twitter list because I'm not a Reformed Calvinist. I think Jesus would be more tolerant of my mistakes when it comes to theology, perhaps. And I think as Christians, we should be the same way, right? That there are things you can't do it, but what does that mean? Does that mean that you never sit down and study with them? Does it mean that you... Jesus sat down and studied with us, even though when it comes to the delta between what he knew and what they knew is far greater than any delta we'd have with any denomination, right? But let's go on. I'm going to skip through some just so you can see. You can look while I'm doing it. Mark 2, 3, 1 through 12. He was tolerant of friends who got a bit over-exuberant when they couldn't get their paralytic friend into the house and then opened a hole in the roof. Now, you know, I would say in a modern world, if that happened, people would call the police to have them all carted out. But Jesus was pretty tolerant of that. He understood, right? Actually, this one's pretty interesting. Let's go to Mark 3, 1 through 6. Mark 3, 1 through 6. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal them on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to harm, to save a life or to kill?" But they were silent, and he looked around them with anger, not a word you see a lot with Jesus, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to them, to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Now, isn't this an interesting reaction? The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. How to destroy him. Was he tolerant of the man with the withered hand? Was he tolerant of the Pharisees and the Herodians? Not terribly. And we're going to see more of that, right? He knew he was going to cause them offense. Did he hesitate? And I think we can learn from that too, because we do hesitate, don't we? We hesitate to speak up for what is right for fear of being accused of breaking some rule. But he had no fear of doing it. If you go to Mark 2, 13 through 17, he was tolerant of tax collectors and sinners. He, again, was tolerant of those not tolerated by others. Because if you're going to go from a job, what was about the worst job you could have in Israel? A tax collector. And not only did he eat with them, he chose one as a disciple, right? I mean, it's almost like he was sticking his finger in the eye of the religious leaders. Mark 3:10. It says, "For he had healed many, so that all who had diseases pressed around him to touch him." Again, getting back to the thing about the leper, what happens when somebody who has got certain diseases touches you in Israel?
You're dirty. You're dirty.
And he allowed the untouchables, I guess to use a kind of Indian term, right? The untouchables to touch him. The intolerated were tolerated by him. If you look at Mark 3:28 through 30, you'll see that God does not tolerate people blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to go into what that means right now because that can confuse a lot of people. But there's another case where there is no tolerance. If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there is no tolerance. Now, something I think we should all consider, maybe it's that not that he won't tolerate, but that he cannot tolerate. And there's a big difference, just like sin. It's not that God won't tolerate sin. He cannot tolerate sin. Right? Going on, look at Mark 4:10 through 12. 4:10 through 12. And then ask yourself, does this sound tolerant? "And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive. And they may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.'" Does that sound tolerant? Mm-hmm. That sound tolerant? Now, again, that's one of those hard ones, because then it sounds like he's purposely making them be lost. But remember, we allowed other people to use word pictures and special ways of saying things. Let's not read too much into it. But no, that's not very tolerant. There are people who have hardened their hearts so much that, again, God cannot tolerate them. Mark 3:34, kind of a nice thing to think about. He considers those that want to do the will of God part of his family. That's tolerant, huh? That's beyond tolerant. We might put up with a loud guy down the street, but will we treat him like he's a member of the family? Yet by wanting to do the will of the Lord, God actually considered us. Jesus actually considers us part of his family. In Mark 5:21-43, he tolerated a ruler of the synagogue and an outcast woman. Basically, he tolerated all levels of society, fishermen to rulers of the synagogue. And, you know, the woman, if we go through it again, we all know about her with her 12 years of bleeding. And she touched him. And did he yell at her for making him unclean? No, he took the time to stop and not only give her what she needed, the sense of acceptance, but to let everybody else around them know that he accepted her too. Right? Mark 6:1-6, he was rejected in Nazareth, and he couldn't do mighty work and marvel because of their unbelief. Again, ultimately, he cannot tolerate unbelief. He can't, there's just no choice. He can't make you believe, and he can't tolerate unbelief. And, of course, what is unbelief? I would argue a lack of trust. Next week I'm going to do a sermon about faith, and we'll talk a bit more about that. If you look at Mark 6:14-29, how did it work for John the Baptist not to tolerate Herod taking his brother's wife? How did that work out for John the Baptist? Not very well, right? And let me ask you this. How did I introduce the world's vision of tolerance today? Well, I brought up a case where they canceled a prom, right? That one seems to come a little close in my book, right? How dare you Christians have your sexual mores and say whether or not somebody should act on them, right? How'd that work out for John the Baptist? Mark 7:5-15. I've got a lot more that I should read. He did not tolerate the religious leaders' hypocrisy. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And Mark doesn't even have some of the harshest words. You can go elsewhere in the Gospels and he talks about your whitewashed tombs, right? He did not tolerate the religious leaders' hypocrisy. Mark 7:20-23, you'll see a whole list of evil things, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery. He didn't tolerate evil acts of the heart, right? He could not tolerate that. He was tolerant, Mark 7:24-30, tolerant of Gentiles and foreigners, and of all things, women. That was the, I brought up during Bible study, the Syrophoenician woman. She wanted him to heal her daughter. He said, look, you don't give the food for the children to the dogs. She says, but even the dogs get the crumbs off the table. And he healed her daughter. And I think early on, he was just working with her faith. She needed to see that too. He tolerated foreigners and women and Gentiles. He did not tolerate, Mark 8:15, the leaven of Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Mark 8:31-33, he is not tolerant of people who suggest going against the will of God. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and said, and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, notice this. Peter pulls him aside. What does Jesus do? Turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter in front of them, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man. He does not tolerate people who want to go against the will of God. But again, did Peter make it?
Yep.
So, good news. Again, good news for us, right? Other ones, Mark 8:38, does not tolerate those who are ashamed of him. Yeah. Because he'll also be ashamed of you. 9:19, he can't tolerate a lack of faith and a lack of belief. 9:24, where the guy says, help us with my unbelief. That really works for me. He tolerates people who only have a little smidgen of belief. And then he works with it. Mark 9:33-37, disciples are chatting about who's going to be the greatest. Did he tolerate that? No, he's not tolerant of power plays. He is tolerant, if you look at 9:38-42, he's tolerant of those who work for the same gospel, even though they might do it slightly different. Remember the disciples said, we told them to stop. They're doing stuff in your name. We told them to stop. He said, don't do it. They're with us. But in that same thing, you can see he does not tolerate those who cause others to sin. He goes, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea. Now, I could keep going on, but by the time we've kind of got here, plus a few more, you'll see, covered by who Jesus tolerated, rich and poor, high class and low class, young and old, male and female, common and uncommon, great faith and little faith, healthy and sick, and popular and outcast. You guys feel covered by that list? Now, here's a list that you don't want to be covered by, okay? We've seen he does not tolerate religious hypocrisy. He does not tolerate unbelief or no faith. He does not tolerate the unrepentant. He does not tolerate a desire for power. He does not tolerate encouraging others to sin. He does not tolerate putting your possessions ahead of treasure in heaven. He does not tolerate abusing God's trust in you with his truth. It's one that I didn't get to, but he had harsh words for the Pharisees because they were entrusted with the truth. And what did they do with it? They put a heavy millstone around those who listened to him, right? He does not tolerate blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and he definitely does not tolerate demons. But the good news is that we don't actually become saved by the number we check off on either list, right? Because I can tell you, I've been a religious hypocrite before. And I probably will again. I definitely have some problems with faith that I have. I don't think I have the unbelief. I do. I definitely have an ego. I'm sure I've done power plays before. But I don't have to worry. Just because I got a little checkbox by some of these, because I fall into the final list, right, of what's saved. What are you saved by? Faith, right? Which we'll be talking about again next week. You're saved by faith. Because I do that, I'm okay. What it comes down to this is this. Ultimately, Jesus, there's only one thing Jesus cannot tolerate, and that is unbelief. That's what it comes down to, right? Religious hypocrisy is a sign of unbelief. Fighting for power is a sign of unbelief. There's only one thing, and it's not that he is a harsh judge, ruling from above, saying, and because you don't believe in me, you are damned. It's because he can't tolerate it. At some point, there will be no sin in the whole universe. It will be truly, Jesus did finish the work on the cross, but it will be truly finished. There will be no more tears. And the only way that can be is if those who do not believe are no longer with us, right? And what I would say is that we also learn that ultimately Jesus tolerates those who will tolerate him, right? He said that if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. He tolerates those who tolerate them. It's all our choice. And what we have to do as a church is help others tolerate Jesus, right? Have those be great magical words to them instead of words of derision.